We'll electrify you with the May 2nd, 2008 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another edition of The Rain Report, available both as a weekly download and a podcast from therainreport.com. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, hoping that you'll all drop by the rain booth, number 404, at the Dayton Hamvention, scheduled for May 16th, 17th, and 18th. Do you remember all of the gnashing of teeth and wringing of hands that occurred a few years back following the announcement of a new technology that became known as BPL, Broadband Over Power Lines? The FCC released its rules for BPL, in which the commission assured the modern world that BPL would provide economic internet access to the hinterlands with minimal interference. Well, the FCC stacked that deck. Rain's founder and producer, Hap Hawley, KC9RP, spoke with Alan Pitts, W1AGP, Media and Public Relations Manager for the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League.
First, we were very concerned that this was one of the first times since the FCC was established that a licensed radio service was not being protected from an unlicensed radio emissions source, such as BPL. And secondly, we were looking at the number of the rules. It appeared that they were confusing. Simple thing like a point source is not the same as a line source, and the amount of decrease in power as you moved away from those lines. Now, I got to split the FCC between the commission itself and their staff. It's two very different things. The commission itself seemed to be cheerleaders for broadband over power line, promoting it as the third pipeline. Oh, this is going to go into the rural parts of the United States, even though the economics wasn't there to do it, and had quite a long history of being promoters for BPL at the expense of licensed radio services. When the FCC came out with their rulings on how BPL was going to be allowed to operate, and it became clear that this just was not right. The decision was made by the board of directors of the ARRL that we need to take this to court. And this was argued in front of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia back in October of last year. Last week, the decision finally came out. Now, a couple of points on this. First, for any court to overrule a federal agency in any way is very, very rare thing. It's an uphill battle, and it's most unusual. We were fighting an uphill one, and we knew that going on in. The second thing I want to be very clear about is that this has only been possible by the people that donated to the Spectrum Defense Fund and kept faith with the ARRL, even when things looked kind of gloomy and dark, and we wondered if we were ever going to get anywheres on this. So when the announcements came, we were very, very happy and very pleased to hear that the Court of Appeals has remanded the decisions made back to the FCC. In other words, telling the FCC, okay, you got a do-over because of a number of critical points in this. There are two real primary arguments that were made. One is, can the FCC make rulings, and in this case, a ruling which ultimately would destroy decades of other rules in which licensed radio services were protected from unlicensed interference? And the court found, yes, basically the FCC can make the rules as they choose to do so. So we didn't get too far there. However, where we scored and scored major points is the court found that the commission, and I'm quoting, failed to satisfy the notice and comment requirements of the Administrative Procedures Act, or the APA, because they redacted the studies on which they relied in making those rules, and they failed to provide an explanation for how they came out with these rules. Later on, in some of the statements that came out from the court, the judges got a hold of an unredacted or unedited copy of some of the reports, and they found that there were a number of things in there which they were being warned that the commission was withholding information. One of the documents was new information arguing for caution on HF-BPL. Another one was BPL spectrum trade-offs. Now, we don't know exactly all of what's in those documents, but apparently it was not complementary to BPL rulings that they were coming up. And so what they did is they basically slashed the documents, only gave fast summaries, and as the court said, they were cherry-picking that information and only provide that which supported their decision and pretend the other stuff never existed. We'll hide it. The court pretty well slammed them for that one. So how the FCC Commission went about coming up with these rulings was flawed in a major way, and that's really where the court slapped their hand for it. The second issue, which was part of that as to how they came up with that decision, is there's things called the extrapolation factor. Now, let me try to explain what that is. When you try to measure the amount of interference coming from a power line carrying BPL, sometimes, for a number of reasons, you can't actually get in to the power line. Maybe you need to measure at a specific distance, but there might be an intersection there. There might be a superhighway. There could be a building there. There could be all kinds of things there. So when that happens, they come up with what they call an extrapolation factor. They figure, well, this point where we would like to be standing but can't is so far so many meters, whatever, from the power line. And under the laws of physics, we know that the further away you go, the power decreases. Everybody agrees with that. Well, the question then is, how much does that power decrease? What the FCC came out with is they wanted to say, well, it decreases by 40 decibels per decade. We'll just say the number 40 for people. In other words, every time you move 10 more meters or 10 more, whatever it may be, it'll decrease another 40. We're saying, no, that might work if you have a point source, and that's what it was based on, where you have a unidimensional one-point source. However, this isn't like that. This is not a single point. You're talking what could be miles and miles of wire. It's a line, and that doesn't work. And our measurements and our tests and the English tests and a number of other tests all said you can't use point source information when, you know, a point's not a line. What we came up with was 20 decibels. This energy is going to decrease a whole lot less as you move away from this electric wire. Well, the FCC said, no, it's 40, that's it. And absolutely no justification how they came up with that. And the court looked for it and couldn't find it. One of the things that they stated in their decision is that they couldn't find anything like that. And one of the things within the remand is, please come up with a reasoned explanation for how they came up with that. Now, those are two critical points as we look at the possibilities for harmful interference to amateur radio and other services. We're not the only ones that would be affected by this.
You're listening to an interview with ARRL Media and Public Relations Manager Alan Pitts, W1AGP, explaining why the federal courts are requiring the FCC to rewrite its rules governing BPL, broadband over power line technology. Hap Holly will continue his interview with Alan in just a moment. This is the Wren Report, being subsidized by Merle Heinlein, KB9NOH. You can read about Merle at QRZ.com. This is RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network.
The nice part about it is the BPL manufacturers and the people that are installing them, irrespective of what the FCC did, current technology, and there are others, have been working together with the amateur radio operators. We're working cooperatively. Current has a number of different installations out there, not one complaint yet, and it's been out there for quite a while. They've been out in Ohio currently. They are working in Boulder, Colorado. We don't think it's a coincidence that the company that has done the best job of addressing the interference issues happens to be the most successful one. They're showing that the BPL concept can be done without the interference issues. However, the FCC, in championing BPL and going way back to the beginning where they're even calling it, oh, this is going to be broadband nirvana, came up with this loose set of rulings that would cause trouble. And we are hoping now that since the ruling has been remanded back to the FCC, in other words, they got to do it over, we are truly, truly hoping there's an opportunity to finally establish some rules that will allow BPL to proceed if it can be done, and we believe it can, in configurations that don't expose licensed radio service to harmful interference from BPL. We believe that can be done, that is being done, and we believe the FCC should reflect that in whatever rules they come up with in this remand where the rules got sent back to them for a do-over.
In terms of economics and technology, is BPL today the nirvana that some thought it would be when it originally came out years ago?
Not at all. A couple of things have happened. Number one, BPL installations have only been economically viable in relatively dense population centers. You've heard, oh, we're going to take BPL out to the rural people. The cost of putting repeaters all along the lines, wherever there's a transformer, you got to put a BPL repeater. That appears to be getting prohibitively expensive for companies. Now, there may be a technology that might change that in the future, but for right now, it does not appear to be an economic possibility for many of these companies. The second thing is I've heard for the last 3 years, oh, this is the year BPL is going to explode on the country. It was interesting on CNET, which is a national news media, the United Power Line Council was quoted as giving a figure, 60 million BPL customers. When questioned about that and actually looking at the FCC's databases on there, there's actually a little less than 6,000 BPL customers in the United States at this point, according to the government database. So I don't know where they come up with the 60,000, or excuse me, 60 million it was. There really isn't that much usage for it. There are some usages going on, which is based on what's called home plug technology, where it's kind of handy, let's say in an apartment building type of arrangement. But as far as being widespread, the people doing the best job of that is Current, and even they, it's not a big thing.
Now that the decision has been remanded back to the FCC, has it made any noises at this early date as to what it's going to do?
No, we have not heard and probably will not hear until it actually happens. But basically, there are two generic avenues that can be taken. One is, yes, it could be sent to an appeals court. Personally, I don't think that's going to happen. That's going to tie things up and could tie things up for a long period of time, and nobody wants that. BPL manufacturers don't want that. Hams don't want that. The FCC wouldn't want that. It probably is going to reopen and reform the rules, and exactly how fast that will happen, well, you can speculate. Your crystal ball's as good as mine as to how fast that may happen. In the meantime, the rules as they were are still in effect. I don't want anyone to think that all of a sudden the rules are gone and this is the Wild West. No, they're still in effect. Well, they're flawed. They're still a lot better than nothing. When BPL first came out and they were running under parts of the rules and exemptions from Part 15, it was a whole lot worse. So while the rules the FCC did come out with were fatally flawed, in our view, it was still better than, in a sense, when they began, which was almost no rules. So the rules are still in effect until they come up with the new ones. Realistically, yeah, we've taken the hill, but the war is not over.
That was Alan Pitts, W1 AGP, Media and Public Relations Manager for the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League. Rains Hap-Holly, KC9RP, spoke with Alan about the recent federal court decision that has remanded and demanded the FCC rewrite its regulations governing BPL, broadband over power line technology. The RAIN report is copyright 1990-2008. RAIN, all rights reserved. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, hoping that you'll all drop by the RAIN booth, number 404, at the Dayton Hamvention, scheduled for May 16th, 17th, and 18th, in the Hera Arena in suburban Dayton, Ohio. Oh, speaking of the Hamvention, we'll hear some particulars about Ham Radio's Show of Shows next week from the co-chair Michael Kelter, W8CI. This is RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network.